scripture in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. It happens to follow last week's reading, as it happens, as I said. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So, how have we done this past year? Well, not badly, I don't think. We'll have a quick run through a few of them. There are something of the order of probably nearly 50 growers of wheat in the world. That's those, in fact, that are recorded, which means they must have produced a million tons. So the Isle of Wight on its own wouldn't qualify. But I'm not going to go through them all. You'll be pleased to know. I'm just going to take the top 10 or so. Now, China is the biggest producer, something like 134 million ton, which is just a little bit less than 2 years ago, about the same as last year. India produced 104 million tons compared to last year, which was 98. Russia has produced 79 as opposed to last year, which was 86. United States, 48, which is about the same as last year. Canada, about the same, 31 million. France, they produced about 31. And Australia, about 30. They, of course, harvested way back last December, January time. So they're only a few months away from next year's harvest. Pakistan, they've produced 25 million. Now, Ukraine, sadly, have only produced 16, which in some ways is quite good when you consider how much of the country is taken out of production in favour of having a war. I saw a picture of a tractor which had steel sheets down its sides and a fork truck with some sort of contraption on the front to blow up the mines in front of it. The driver had gear and a headgear and what had around his body, and he drove up and down to clear one field of mines. That's how it is in Ukraine and will be now for a while, I'm afraid. But they normally produce about 30 million. So they're about just over half their normal production. Now, all this adds up with all the rest, adds up to a total of 771 million ton. That's about 10 ton less than normal. That's mostly because of the Ukraine situation. Excuse me. So, some countries have made up a bit, like China and India, but I'm afraid we've just produced a little less wheat for the past year. Now, I'll take, there's only a few producers of corn that is to make my Cornflakes a Sunday every morning. And ours mostly comes from United States, sometimes from France. But we haven't got the right climate in this country to grow corn. We can grow maize, which to some of you is the same thing, but we can't get corn to ripen and be harvested. One or two on the island have tried 20 years or more ago and gave it up as a bad job. They found themselves harvesting in November, and it cost a lot of money to dry it, so they've given it up. But other climates are more akin to it, like in the United States. They've come up with a remarkably good figure of 383 million tons. And when you consider the southwest of the United States was in a drought situation, that's a pretty good harvest. China is also a big producer of corn, as well as rice and wheat, as we shall see. The other producers are Brazil and some of Europe, particularly southern France. Again, they've had extremely hot weather and drought conditions in some areas. So their production of 73 is really quite good. On to rice. I used to think China lived on rice, but the wheat figures would show otherwise nowadays. They've got used to the European ways and growing wheat for bread, as opposed to just rice. They've produced 212 million tons or more. India also 195, and one or two other smaller ones, Bangladesh and Indonesia, 50 odd million each. Myanmar too produced rice. Interesting, over the last 12 years, they've been trying to produce a seawater rice by crossing varieties and so on that will produce, that will prepare to suffer the salt that's in the seawater. They've got a lot of land which is prone to flooding from the sea. So consequently, they're making use of their situation effectively. And they say this year it's been a success, as they've marketed commercially for the last 2 years. Now, I've no figures for what they've actually produced, but they are reckoning eventually to produce enough seawater rice to feed 80 million people. Now, we wait to see if they do, of course. But that's the situation with rice. So I've condensed it into comparatively few minutes. I just explain my interest in farming and agriculture. Must have started at a very early age, something like 8 or 10, when we were in food rationing at the end of the war. And I used to take a lot of walks all around my home in Carisbrook. One direction out to Carisbrook Halt, as it was then, and the other way, all around Carisbrook Castle. And I used to go to the priory and watch the cows being milked. All four of them. And it was taken down to the nuns in buckets, and the milkman used to have a yoke to carry the two buckets open-topped as he walked down the garden to the nunnery as it was then. And his name was Mr. Sibley. How I can remember these things, I don't know. But my interest in farming probably came about then, strangely enough. But I haven't been able to get away from it for very long in the trade ever since. I did have a couple of years away at Her Majesty's service, which was a break, but I was soon back at it, and I was at an agricultural merchant soon after I was demobbed, and I met my wife Alberta there, and Margaret too, as it happens, and she was also there. So that's where my interest came, and I can only thank the Father for making me me, which happens to be the opening words of a chorus I seem to remember that we used to sing to the Good News Club and Sunday School. Some of you will know, Sharon probably knows it, and Steve, and probably some others. And we're just going to play it now. We've got the words on the screen, if you don't know. The actions aren't compulsory, but you can do them if you feel free. And Tess is going to show you what the actions are. Are you ready? Now, last year, I seem to remember, we spoke about a harvest needing seed. Now, all life on earth needs seed to reproduce, whether it be humans, animals, or vegetation. But there are two other things that a seed needs in order to grow a harvest. And one of those, of course, is the sunshine. We read about from Genesis that God wouldn't take away the sunshine and the seasons. Now, there is one other thing, and that is water. We only hear about water when there isn't any, or when the water is so powerful that it washes things away and does a lot of damage. We've had that recently on our news in the last week or two. And even yesterday, we had storms, I believe, in London, and did some damage here and there. So we only hear about water when it's a problem. In this country, we take it for granted that we have water in a tap. Incidentally, Samaritan's Purse have just been out to Yemen and installed water systems and drilled wells to supply them, many of the towns, with water. In their recent magazine, they've told us about the work. And these things don't get done unless Christian workers go go out and do them. And they obviously need financing from people like us to do these things. So much of the world is still in need of water. Many countries have been instilling desalination plants. Now, I'm not sure whether you know what they are. They're taking seawater and taking the salt out to produce drinking water. It's a very expensive program. And of course, you need access to the sea. We have one in London, as I think I mentioned last year, on the Thames. And more recently, there's been one put into the Scilly Isles. Now, places like the Scilly Isles have no area for collecting rainwater. You can understand that. And Jersey's just put one in. Now, Spain was one of the first countries to put them in, something like 40 years ago, and they've now got dozens. There are, I forget exactly, something like 16,000 plants in the world. The two biggest are probably in Israel, where they've turned the Negev Desert into food production. If I told you they have a herd of cows, 1,000 cows, and are producing enough forage to supply 1,000 cows and its followers, that'll give you some idea of the vastness of the farms that they've created in the Negev Desert. There are 6 farms of various sorts in that country. So inland places, we have to drill wells. Roger once told us how many wells there once were in Newport. Some of them open to community use. But I believe all up through Node Hill, for one area, there used to be quite a few. And that was once a source in this country, but of course they were old-fashioned building, as I think Lois has got one in her garden, and they were old-fashioned ones, obviously built by hand. But now they're driven into the ground with machinery, and pumped out. But they do eventually run out, you know, because they've got to be in a water stream and the water has to come from somewhere. So it is a need that the world still needs for those areas that are, like I mentioned, Yemen, and all of the northeast of Africa suffers from drought. And these countries don't have the finance to finance desalination plants. So they all need water, not only for drinking, but for growing their crops, like corn for harvest. Our own harvest this year in UK looked like, in the beginning of July, it looked like being a record. And that record would have been about 16 million tonnes. The press was confident that that would happen. And it was expected that it would be about a fortnight early because of the weather system. And the weather that thought otherwise, because from the middle of July till about the middle of August, rate. And instead of getting 16 million, we only got 15 million tons, roughly. I haven't heard a fixed figure yet. Which is more than enough, as it happens. It's about our average. We use about 6.5 million tons for human consumption for flour. We make 5 million tons of flour for our bread baskets. And 7 million roughly for animal food, mostly for poultry. That leaves 3 or 4 million for exporting. So we do make a contribution to the world's needs ourselves. But we're a very small country compared to some of them, obviously. So that's my thoughts on the situation with water. Now, there are many stories in the Bible of water. I started to make a list of the number of times that the Lord was involved with water. You remember the story when he walked on water. And then there was the flood, of course, and so on. I've got a whole list somewhere or other of what I try to remember. I'm sure you're all thinking now of the various other ones that I've not mentioned. But there was one that I like to mention, and that was recorded in John chapter 4. It's a very long story, so I'm not going to suggest we read it now. You can read it yourselves because of all the detail in it. John chapter 4, about the Samaritan woman. Now, there's just two or three things that I would like to mention about the Samaritan woman. As you know, Jesus asked her for a glass of water, and she told him, "You don't have anything to draw water from." However, he offered her living water. In other words, he offered her eternal life. And it's a fact that he was prepared to meet with anyone, even a Samaritan woman in her situation and in her sin. Now, Jesus is prepared to meet with anyone, no matter what sin they've been involved in or are sinful. But then we're all sinful and come short of the glory of God, as we know. And, of course, we're born in sin because of Adam and Eve. And so we all need Jesus. And I take it that we mostly are belong to him, which is good. But the other thing about the woman, and I'm backward, as it were, in this department, and that is, as soon as she came to know the Lord as Savior, she went and told her friends in the town. She went out and told everyone what she had just done and how she had come to know the Lord Jesus. And that's something where perhaps I am, certainly, lacks in doing. But this situation, those are three things that Jesus reminded us of. The fact that he doesn't mind who he meets with, and he preached to her And then she went and told everyone she knew. So, do we tell everyone we know? Well, my case, certainly not. But it's something we must pray about in order to reach others for the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love shown to us in all these things we've looked at this morning. We praise you and we thank you for your great love and that was shown to us and the way that you went to Calvary's cross for us each one. Now we pray that you'll go with us, help us to enjoy our refreshments and the rest of the day together. For we give you thanks and ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.